you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Some of you are tracking over here on the left-hand side in the blessed section. Yeah, love is all you need. If I was to look at your playlist right now, if some of you are like watching the 80s playlist, some of you would have on there a bunch of songs and 90% of them would be about love. Yeah, love is all you need. What kind of love do we need in order to be fruitful, in order to enjoy life and to live abundantly in this time that we are living now? What love is it we need? We are in our series at the movies, and in this particular series, in this part, we've moved into the Star Wars phase. Some of you are excited about that. Some of you still have an assignment to go watch all 9 Star Wars before you come back next week and just binge watch that or whatever it is you watch it. But seriously, last week we talked about episode 1 and how Anakin was the hope of all of the universe and was going to bring balance to the Force. And this particular young man was going to be the one that grows up, and of course, spoiler alert, he doesn't. This week, we are moving. He was the hope. He was the hope of the universe. This week we're moving into Star Wars 6, or Star Wars 3 if you watched it first time. But Return of the Jedi, and of course this Jedi is the son of Anakin, the one who didn't do too well with the whole balance of the Force thing. But this guy is going to bring some hope. In fact, this guy, Luke, actually starts walking around in this episode like he's a Jedi. He's got his black suit on. He's kind of a bit more composed kind of thing. And in Return of the Jedi, we come to understand a bit more about who is going to bring balance to the Force. But after 30 or 40 years of watching Star Wars, I've surmised that in and amongst the intergalactic battles, in and amongst the X-Wing fighters and TIE fighters, in and amongst all of these things that have been going on, Star Wars, lightsabers and everything, in and amongst it, I've come to realize that actually George Lucas put together this series because it was a love story. It's a love story. It's a story about the conflict of love and how we get confused with the different types of love. Of course, the loves are between the holy trinity of Star Wars, yeah? Han Solo, our mercenary, and one who's always looking for a quick buck. Princess Leia, unauthorized princess of Alderaan. And of course, Luke Skywalker, the hope. So it's going to bring the balance to the Force. And there's always this kind of love thing going on between these three people. In Return of the Jedi, they're going to win. They're going to win the day. And there's all these battles going on. And there's a bit of love between Luke Skywalker and his dad. A couple of dad issues going on there. And he goes to see his dad and fight with his dad. And he has this love going on with his dad. And then there's that kind of love, and that's the family love, the kind of love that he has for him. And he's trying to figure that out. And then we go down to Endor. Now, the movie's almost over. The battle is almost won. The bad guys have been defeated. And Princess Leia and Han Solo are on Endor, which is where all the furry little Ewoks are. You remember that? And on this particular planet is where the reactor shield like places, and it's where they're about to defeat the enemy. And so they finished defeating the enemy, and everything's kind of over and glossing over. And we move to this scene where Princess Leia's been shot in the left arm, and she's nursing her arm, and Han Solo's finally like, well, now finally I can show my love for this woman. And he starts tending to her because he's a romantic soul, you know, Han Solo. And she says, she's looking up into the sky. She sees the battle going on up ahead. And she says, she just sits there thinking. And Han Solo is sensitive to what's going on in her head. And she says, you think Luke was on that ship? The ship explodes up in the sky. He says, you think Luke was on that ship? And she says, no, I think he's fine. I can sense it in my spirit. And Han Solo says, you know, always about him, he says, do you love him? And she says, of course I love him. And he says, well, fine, it's fine. When he comes back from like dueling lightsabers with his dad, I'll back off and you guys can get back to where you left off. And she says, no, it's not like that. Spoiler alert, he's my brother. Yeah, some of you are following, that's good. He's my brother. And she gives him a romantic kiss, they embrace, and all the pennies start dropping in Han Solo's head, like, oh, now I get it. Yeah, this is great. Little Ewok comes along, disturbs the moment. And we have this same problem in our world today. We get our loves mixed up. We get our loves mixed up and where they possibly could be. And most of our 80s songs, most of the songs on your playlist are celebrating romantic love, the kind of love that Han Solo and Leia have. There's that romantic love, the Greeks call it eros. There's romantic love, and then there's the love that you have between your father and your son, your mother and son, your sister and brother, and that's the family love, or what the Greeks call storge. And then there's the other love, it's the kind of friendship love, the kind of guy that's got your back, like Han Solo and Chewie. No matter what Chewie goes through, no matter what Han Solo goes through, he's got your back. He's the bro kind of thing. He's right there. And that's the filial love or your friendship love. So which kind of love do we need in order to live a fruitful life? Which kind of love do we need out of these three, storge, filial, and eros? Which one do we need in order to live a fruitful life? To get through this intergalactic war that we have going on in our heads and in our hearts constantly, what kind of love do we need? Well, I'm going to read a text here. It's going to be familiar to you. And Paul teaches us about love and the kind of love we need in our text today. He writes to Corinth. And Corinth is a multinational, multifaceted kind of city. In Corinth, people come from all over the world to hang out in this particular place. It was a bridge to the other side, to the other sea on the other side of Greece. And people from all over the world gather here. People speak different languages. People are hungry for love. So much so that the church has got together and it's thriving. There's prophecy going on. There's people speaking in different languages. There's knowledge from all sorts of different countries arriving in this one place. And they're even giving to the poor. They're even giving to people that have less than them. They're giving their food and their shelter to these people. And they're thriving. This church is thriving. But Paul still writes them. He loves Corinth. And he sends them this letter. And you might have heard this scripture before. We're going to go there, and if you notice it, I'll let you know. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You might have seen this before. Go there in your Bibles if you've got one. If you've got your phone, open it. If you're not already there, open up another tab if you're online. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'll just start with the first verse and tell me where you hear it. Ready? Verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Where have you heard this? A wedding? Anyone? Love is patient? Yeah. We always reference this scripture at a wedding. It looks nice. It sounds good. It's a good poem. We always reference this, and Paul uses this to write to Corinth. Here we go, read the rest of it. So verses 1 through 3 here. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So Paul recognizes the kind of church that they are. And Paul's responsibility is to communicate the gospel all around the Mediterranean and the basin there and Greece. And this is his charge in life, was to write and encourage people. And these people were doing well, but he says, you're speaking languages. And there was different languages from different countries around the world, because they were all gathered in this place when they were crossing over from one sea to the other. And they were prophesying. They were talking about how God was working in their life and how God was going to work. Some people predicted the future and said, God's going to do this. And they prophesied about what was to come. Yeah, you guys are doing that. That's good. You're prophesying God's secret plans. And you're smart too. You have all the knowledge. You have friends like that? They watch every newsreel, every update on your phone. I have a friend who loves having knowledge. He loves to know what's happening next or what's happening now. And he knows everything that's going on about the new speaker, the new thought thinker. He's up to date on everything in culture. In fact, even when you go out for dinner with him or go out for a coffee, he kind of knows the flavor of ice cream that's best for you. He likes knowledge. He likes to know stuff. He likes to know what's going on. He says, yeah, you guys can have that too. You can have prophecy. You can reveal God's secret plans. In fact, you can have so much knowledge and so much faith in God that even can move mountains. You can have all of this. All this like faith. And you can even give to the poor, so much so that all the food that you give and all the water that you give and the shelter that you give up, that you can sacrifice your own body and be like, hey, look at me. I'm doing what Jesus said. I gave to the poor. Look at me. You can do all that. He says, but if you do that and you don't have love, there's something missing. He says, yeah, you can prophesy, you can say some things about God, you can say, yeah, God is here, and it's going really well. You can prophesy, but nobody can hear you, because you haven't got love. You can have a lot of knowledge. You can say, oh, guess what's happening? I know the best people to follow. I know all the information that's needed. I know who to follow on Twitter. But nobody can hear anything. You're prophesying. You're telling me stuff. And I can't hear anything, because there's like a clanging. By the way, the clanging bell or the clanging cymbal summoned Greek gods in Paul's time. He says, you sound like you're summoning gods. And you say you're giving to the poor. You say that you're giving, I'm giving to the poor. And you haven't got love. You're giving just so everybody else knows that you're giving. Doesn't sound like anything. I can't hear anything. So, Paul, what are we to do? What love are we meant to follow? Is it the filial love, the kind of love that we have for our friends? Is it the love that I should have for my parents or my brothers or sisters? Is that the kind of love I need? Is it the romantic love, the eros love, the love that I have for another person, the romantic love that is going to help me? What kind of love is it, Paul? Help me out here. What does it look like? What does it sound like? Help us out in Corinth, because we thought we were doing everything we needed as this new church. What does it sound like? Verse 4 is where he tells us what it sounds like. Love is what? Patient. and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Amen? I don't even need to preach this. It sounds good when you just read it. Love is patient. That doesn't mean patient in every situation. That doesn't mean there's not going to be circumstances that you're going to be impatient with. It's about being patient with people. Patient with people. People are hard work sometimes, amen? And we have to be patient with people. Love, the agape love of God is patient. And this is the love that he's talking about here. It's agape. It's Greek for being the kind of love you don't deserve. The kind of good love that you receive even when there's nothing in you that you're doing that needs it, that will require it. Agape love. It says it doesn't boast. It's always rejoicing in the truth. It never gives up hope. It's hopeful. Maybe you're around some people now who are not hopeful. Maybe you know some people who have lost hope. Maybe you being next to them, knocking on the door, saying hi, is their only hope. Love hopes. Agape, love hopes. Doesn't demand its own way. Here's another good one. It doesn't keep record of wrongs. How many of you keep records of wrongs? You're not meant to put your hand up at this point. Oh, down here. Yeah, it doesn't help us keeping records of wrongs. It doesn't rejoice. And there's 15 things here that Paul says what this agape love is like. There's 15 things that it is and things that it is not. It's kind. It's patient. It's kind. Kind as in, not, oh, let's do random act of kindness. It's kind because you're just kind because you have the agape love of God. It's like you're doing it with your right hand. Your left hand doesn't know what you're doing. Remember when Jesus said that in the Gospels? It's like your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing because it's natural for you because you're full of the agape love of God and you're kind. It rejoices when the truth wins out. It rejoices with what's going on around you when you see it's truthful. It endures through every circumstance. No matter what circumstance you're going through in your life, no matter what you're going through in your friendship relationship, whether that filial relationship is breaking down, no matter if you're going through the breakup in your family relationship, the storge relationship, the Greeks called it the storge relationship, if you're having a breakup in your romantic relationship, no matter what any of those loves are going on, always the agape love of God perseveres. It never gives up and it never loses faith. Amen? That is our hope. Some of the things that it's not. Some of the things that this agape love is not. It is not jealous or boastful. Hey, look what I just did. Look what I just did last week. I did this. I gave to the poor, and you all need to know about it. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. I'll say it again. It's not rude. You know some people who have the agape love in their life, they've met with God, and yet they're still rude. Whether it's to your face or on a keyboard. It's not rude, people. It's not irritable. My wife says I'm irritable. Any other irritable people out there? I'm irritable, but it's not irritable. It does not, this is my favorite one, it does not rejoice in injustice. It doesn't rejoice when there's somebody you know and something happens to them and you say, oh, they were going to get that coming to them. That happened to them. I'm so happy because I couldn't stand that person. When others fall down, it's called schadenfreude, when you are delighted. Delighted in other people's failure. Delighting when other people collapse in front of you. The agape love of God does not rejoice in schadenfreude. It doesn't rejoice when other people are falling down. It rejoices when truth wins. It never gives up and never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through. This agape love looks for hopeful things in other people. This agape love looks to people and thinks, what are the redeemable qualities in this character in front of me? Who is this person in the eyes of God? Who is this person and whom does God want this person to be? You're a vessel of God's agape love to that person. How can I create a place where they can also understand this love that doesn't, I'm not going to hit it again, that doesn't sound like a clanging bell, that doesn't sound like a cymbal when you're saying something, you just can't hear it. How can you bring this undeserving love? So, what is the love we need? What is the kind of love that Paul and John and Ringo and the other guy who played the drums, what does he really want? What is the kind of love that we need in order to live a fruitful life, to live a fulfilling life? It's not the filial love, the relationships we had with friends. It's never going to live up to the kind of thing that we really want. It's not the kind of love that we get from our family, although they're wonderful and well and good, but we have like breakups in the family and even in the storage relationship in our love. And it's not the romantic love that we celebrate so much that we send cards and make movies and sing songs about. It's the agape love of God. It's the love that you don't deserve. It's the love that I don't deserve, and yet still we receive it. Amen? Maybe you've heard all this before. Maybe you've heard the scripture. You've been to like 100 weddings. You've heard the scripture a million times. You kind of get it. So this week, I have some action items for you. Now, if you write things down on paper, this is the time to take notes. If you like tap it in your phone, this is the time to do that. And if you just take screenshots, you can just do that too and take a screenshot of the screen. Here's some action steps for you to put 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7 into action as a follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and decide to follow Jesus, these are good action steps for you to take. If you are not a follower of Jesus, if it's something in your life that you're missing, this is a good start anyway. Here we go. The first one I want you to do as an action step is love on someone who you think is unlovable. You know that person. Maybe it's the person you want schadenfreude to happen to. Love on someone who is unlovable. You don't have to like spend a night with them. You don't have to spend a week with them. Maybe it's just a note. Love on someone who's unlovable. That's the first one. The second one is hope in one person who's lost hope. You know that person whom you've tried different things to work with them. Everybody else says, oh, those people without hope, she's lost all hope. He's hopeless. Be a vessel of the agape love of God and hope in that person. Find redeemable qualities in that one person and say, I have hope in you. That's the second one. And the final one. Give to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Give financially. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. But bless somebody and give it to somebody. Give to somebody financially and say, this is just what I feel God's given to you. It's the way to show some love of God, the undeserving love. Give financially and then say nothing. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell your husband. Don't tell anybody around you. Just give financially to someone. And I guarantee you, you will also feel the agape love of God too. The love that we need. The love we need today. The love they needed in the Star Wars universe. The love that we need at this very moment is the agape love of God. Do those action steps and tell people, love people with the agape love of God.